we are going to be launching into a new series that we're just calling Real Faith in a Counterfeit Age. And this is week one, and just really what we're trying to do is just establish some basics. We're just trying to not overlook some baseline stuff, and we're just going to be establishing some basics this morning. And I know that this is really simple stuff, but in our current culture, it's just real easy to look past those basic things. Now, we just finished looking at our history and our biblical DNA that makes us who we are as a church family. That's what we've been leaning into. We reminded ourselves that we're just a simple church trying to pursue the simple tenets of apprenticeship. You know, the amazing thing about apprenticeship is it's very relationally driven. It's much different than an academic setting because it's more of a hands-on experience, and that's really what we're trying to just keep alive based on what Jesus said and did and passed on to us. We're fighting to keep things simple as we learn to pursue Jesus with all of our hearts, with all of our minds, and with all of our souls. Now, let me just ask you this. It's there again, simple stuff. But where does this foundation, this pursuit, this belief, where does it originate from? What is our source of belief and learning? There again, just simple. There you go, Russell. Russell jumping in, man. I love that. All right. I ask a question, you give an answer. Hallelujah. I love that. Is this our idea of church in relationship with God? Is this us? Is this what we are figuring out? Have we been given some new revelation? No, not whatsoever. Not at all. So, just want to foundationally focus. This is our source. Our source is the holy canon of Scripture. This seemingly eclectic, supernaturally woven 66 books that we refer to as the Holy Bible. 39 books that we refer to as the Old Testament. Add the 27 to the New Testament, and we have a volume of 66 beautiful pieces of holy record that is for our learning, our direction, our understanding, and our transformation. These words are active, alive, and piercing. This is not a dead, static, or boring compilation of words. When I have people that are ardent in their attack of the Scriptures, I find that what's crazy is so often the very person that's adhering to other forms of criticism about the Bible have never opened up the Bible to look and view and see and read on their own. And so many times throughout history, if you look and see the skeptic, the agnostic, the unbeliever who says, I reject this idea of God, they begin to open up the Scripture, and the Spirit of God begins to reveal to them through the activity, the vibrancy, and the alive presentation of the living Word of God, that God is real. And He's speaking to them on a personal level. Some of us on the same level. You say that Jesus is your Savior and Lord. But for the very same reason, you are scared to open up the living Word of God because it becomes this active, relational thing and it scares you. And let me just say this, that there is a huge difference between academic religion that is information-focused and a relational pursuit of the Word of God that draws you into a deeper understanding of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Big difference between them. So, I just want you to understand that I am personally striving to be a man of the Word. Just so we're very clear, I don't do this for you. I do this for me. And I am striving to be a man of the word because I need God's thoughts. I need to know God's heart. And I need to know his direction for my life on a personal level. My time in the word of God must be maintained as a daily priority in my own personal life. Make no mistake. This is a battle line issue, a foundational basic issue for me every single day of my life. You say, oh, Pastor Tim, haven't you established? You're getting older now. You should be past that. No, I'm not. So for me, in the morning, this is what it looks like. First thing in the morning, not this chair, this one from back there, okay? But I'll open up the living word of God and I have to fight to be in the word. And just like you, it's not easy because I'm trying to put out distractions. And listen, not all distractions are bad. There's some beautiful, good distractions. But I'm trying to open up the word and I'm trying to say, Father, speak to me. I need to hear from you. I need to know you. I'm trying to open my heart up. I'm trying to make this a relational, interactive relationship with God by faith. And I'm opening up and I'm saying, hey, can you help me, God? And I'm opening up my heart and I'm sharing.
Listen to this podcast. Listen to this.
Right now?
Yeah, it's exactly what we were just talking about last week.
Okay. Sean, that is awesome, man.
You should listen to it now.
No, I understand that, and I so appreciate that. Man, I appreciate your excitement and your enthusiasm, but right now, I'm just trying to spend time with Father and hear from him. Can you do me a favor?
Sure.
Man, I so appreciate this. I will make time. Can you just send that to me? Because if it's been a blessing to you, I know I'm going to like it.
I'll send it to you. You should listen to it.
I know, but can I not do it right now? And you send it to me, and I'll listen to it later.
All right.
Thanks, man. Yeah. I appreciate that. Love that guy. He squirrels like I do. Man. Okay, where was I? Okay, let me get back. Father, help me to understand Matthew and the first couple of things. Yeah.
Hey, before you keep going on that, this is a book I've been wanting to give you. It's David Bizzard's How to Build Horsepower. You should really look into it sometime.
How to Build Horsepower.
Yes.
Okay.
Make anything fast if you really
want. Okay. Wyatt, I so appreciate this. Man, and number one, I just want to say thank you. You keep all the engines in the Duggins household fit and running. I appreciate that. And even though I know that this has got to be a quality read.
It's good.
Can I take it and can I look at it later? Because right now I'm really trying to focus. I appreciate this, man. But I'm just trying to stay focused right now on my relationship with Father. Is that okay? But we can talk engines later.
You sure?
Is that good?
All right.
You cool with that?
Yeah, I guess.
All right, man. Thanks. I appreciate that. Man, I love me some engine reading. That's some good stuff. Whew. That's awesome. Horsepower. Who doesn't love that? Okay, get back to Matthew. Matthew. I'm studying Matthew. Here we go. There we go. That's good. Father, I pray.
Hey, I don't mean to interrupt, but I saw this YouTube sermon on YouTube, and I really want you to watch it.
Dude, I love the fact that you're watching sermons on YouTube. Man, that is fantastic.
It's not that long, really.
No. I believe you. Can you just do me a favor? Can you send that to me?
Yeah.
And then I can watch it later. Because right now, I'm really just trying to zone in on my time in the Word and my time in prayer. But, I love your heart. I love the fact that you're listening to other sermons. But you promise you'll send it to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I will carve out time to listen to it. Okay. Thanks, Garrett. I appreciate it. Are you tracking with anything that we're talking about? Because in the world that we live in, there is nothing about that that was bad. There was nothing evil. There was nothing but beautiful stuff that was being presented. And I just want to remind you that not all distractions are bad. Some of them can help us with our studying, with our growth, and learning the Bible. And I think it's great to hear other ideas and thoughts and perspectives. To be honest with you, that's one of the great benefits of how we prepare for Sunday morning lessons. There's a group of us that come together and share backgrounds and perspectives and thoughts. And we sharpen each other and we open one another up to things. And I'm by no means, please, I don't want anybody that's listening to my voice to misunderstand. I'm not saying that podcasts and other sermons and Christian music and books or any other resources are bad and not needed in our faith journey. They're a beautiful thing. But what I want to highlight is that if in our current culture, if we are not careful, we can use them instead of them just being complementary resources, instead of making them, if we're not careful, we make them a substitute for personal time in the living Word of God, seeking the will of the Father, and pouring out our hearts to Him. Do you get what I'm saying? It's so easy to do these other things because let's just be honest, those are great resources, but they are easy on a different level than this is. This is more arduous. This is more challenging. This takes more time. But let me say it like this. It is a beautiful thing for a mother to say to a child as an encouragement, your father loves you. Some of you, that's a very personal statement because that's who you primarily heard it from growing up. But it is a game changer to be spending time with your father, hanging out with dad, and dad with his own voice, with his own emotion, looks at you and says, I love you. Big difference between mom saying, your dad loves you, and hearing your dad say, I love you. They're not wrong, but one has a different impact than the other. Are you tracking with me? And this is what we're talking about this morning. First-hand experience is irreplaceable. Did you hear me? First-hand experience is irreplaceable. We're going to jump into 2 Timothy chapter 3. We read a little bit last week, and we want to use this as a foundation. We're going to ask you to please read along and study with us over the next multiple weeks. We're going to be in the book of Matthew. And we're going to be looking at Matthew, and we're going to be evaluating the life and ministry of Jesus to help us understand how to navigate real faith in a counterfeit age. But we need to make this very, very clear today that this foundational basic can never change in our lives. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, where we're going to read all 17 verses in the chapter. This is what it says, reading from the NLT. You should know this, Timothy. Then the last days will be very difficult times. Now, if you're not familiar with this chapter and with this book, it's an apprenticeship relationship. Timothy has walked with Paul, the apostle. He's lived with him. He's observed him. There's this investment, even using family terms, that he is his son in the ministry. This is what he says. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel, and they will hate what is good. They will betray their friends. They will be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and they're going to love pleasure rather than God. Now, we referenced this last week as a warning for the challenge in our age and the way that we're living and what we're going to be studying, but I need for you to focus on verse 5 because this is all shared in the context of religion. You can't overlook this. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. It's a strong warning. Let's go on to verse 6. They are the kind who work their way into people's homes and win the confidence of or take captive vulnerable women who are burdened with the guilt of sin and controlled by various desires. They're taking advantage of struggling people. Such women are forever following, notice, new teachings, but they are never able to understand the truth. So there's a difference between new teachings and the truth. These teachers, they oppose the truth, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses. They have depraved minds and a counterfeit. Notice the word counterfeit faith. But they won't get away with this for long. Someday, everyone will recognize what fools they are, just as with Jannes and Jambres. Now, I just want you to focus on these terms, new teachings, that phrase, compared to the truth in the context of we're talking about a counterfeit faith. Verse 10, but you, Timothy, certainly know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, you know my patience, you know my love and my endurance. What I want you to see here, and I don't want us to miss or overlook, is the relational component of not public presentation or oratory presentation, being good with words and speech and presentation. Paul was very good at that. But that's not the basis of what he's talking about here. He's like, you've watched me live. You've watched the junk that I've gone through. You've watched the things. We have lived life together. You know the good, bad, and the ugly about me. You know really what I believe. Do you get this apprenticeship relationship? There's this relationship here. Look at what it says. You know all about how I was persecuted in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. You want to know somebody? You want to know something about somebody? Watch how they deal with pain and adversity, disappointment, and failure. Persecution. Yes. And everyone, oh, sorry. But the Lord rescued me from all of it. He's saying, you were firsthand. You got to see this. Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Just going to let the Holy Spirit, let the Holy Scripture, let that bounce a little bit. But evil people and imposters, they're going to flourish. Evil people and imposters are going to flourish. They will deceive others and will themselves be deceived. See, these counterfeit, these false teachers, they have bought into what they're saying. They genuinely believe it. But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. Do you see the depth and the power of this relational exchange? It's not just verbal. It's not intellectual. It's not pontificating in front of a group and having great oratory skills. No, he's saying, you know who I am. Look at what it says in verse 15. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. Verse 16. Think about the time in the time in church history that Paul proclaims this by the Holy Spirit. He says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Hey, we talk about this on a regular basis, but it's so important for us to address this easily overlooked basic tenet or foundation. Paul is addressing Timothy from a relational perspective, and it's imperative that we do not miss the importance of establishing some basics in regard to understanding counterfeits. Lifestyle matches the truth of what somebody says about what they believe. Heart, motives, and beliefs are translated into daily living. You've heard me say it publicly. I'm going to say it again this morning. I want to be the best communicator that I can be day in and day out, week in and week out. But can I just tell you something? I don't have any desire to be some eloquent, amazing presenter of the Bible. What my goal is that as we live life together, that you're able to see the decisions I make, the passion in my heart, the priorities, the things that drive me, and that you will be able to see the living Word of God lived out in a flawed human being so that it brings veracity and strength to our faith together. What I say is only as good as what you see lived out inside of, out of me. Let me say it a different way. Paul is reinforcing in Timothy that the power of the Scriptures translates into true daily living. The Scripture is powerful and should be pursued daily. Human religion is kind of like how some parents are. Do as I say, not as I do. There's a lot of religion in this world that's that same type of parent. Do as I say, not as I do. Christianity is a reflection of Jesus of Nazareth. This is what he said. This is what Jesus said. Think about this. Watch the way that I live, and that should help you understand what I am trying to say. You see the difference? There's a huge difference between the two. Now, that's the kind of parent that I want to be. That's the kind of husband that I want to be. That's the kind of papa that I want to be to my grandkids. I want to be able to say to them, you watch the way that I live, and that should help you understand what I am trying to say to you. Because what translates intellectually, if it's not seen in modeling in a relational lifestyle way, what good does it do? It doesn't translate. It doesn't seem to fit. It just becomes, do as I say, not as I do. I must make time. We must make time in our relationship with Father God, just as Jesus did while he lived in human form. He is our example of relationship and walking in truth. You know, some years ago, some of you that are younger, you might not remember, there was this huge push and WWJD was everywhere. What would Jesus do? There were bracelets and caps and t-shirts, and it was all that rage. But I've kind of clung to that in my own life because he's been my hero. He's the guy that I'm trying to model my life after. So it still fits for me. I'm old school, so it still makes sense. I just don't proclaim it, but it's in my heart. I just ask myself often, what would Jesus do? Why? Because Jesus modeled something very countercultural back then. Let me just say, if he showed up today, he would still be countercultural. Jesus, the Son of God, regularly withdrew to solitary places to pray. Look at Mark chapter 1, verse 35, and Luke 5, 16. Even when he was surrounded by the demands of people clamoring for his help. Though crowds sought him out, he would slip away to deserted locations like in Luke 4, 42. And when people wanted to make him king and crown him, he retreated alone to the mountains as in John 6, 15. Please hear me. This wasn't a way to escape the pressure. It was a priority being lived out in his life that reflected his relational time with his Father. By going to his solitary places to pray, Jesus demonstrated that meaningful prayer requires distance from worldly concerns and noise, allowing complete focus on God. What makes this pattern especially countercultural is that Jesus withdrew even from good activities. Now, we'll be there later on. But if you look at Matthew chapter 14, with this in mind, go back, write it down, go back and read Matthew chapter 14. Just look at the overview. Jesus received some really sad news. And because of that sadness, and you know what this is like, you receive sad news, you need some solitude. You need some time by yourself. Jesus was looking for that. But in this particular record, Jesus couldn't get that right away because the large crowds had followed him and they were seeking him. So Jesus responds to their needs and he ministers to them all day. He winds up feeding the entire crowd with a miracle. He sends his disciples in a boat ahead of him, and then he dismisses the crowd. And after all that's done and he's exhausted, he then went up on a mountainside by himself to pray to the Father. Jesus' ministry to people was a wonderful thing, but it could never become a substitute for intimacy with the Father. I just want to throw this out here for some of you. What we're talking about is this book, these truths becoming precious to your own soul personally. And I just want to say this as a way of encouragement, not condemnation. I am thankful. Please understand my heart. If you are using your phone to read the Word of God, I am nothing but grateful. But if you are, I want to give you a new challenge. Stop doing that. Get an old school copy of Scripture. Leave your phone somewhere else in the house and open up the living Word of God in a relationship of faith through grace and see if the Holy Spirit won't baby step guide you through the Scriptures and reveal His plan for you personally. Because I'm just telling you, from my own personal experience, I can't do the phone Bible study thing. You already know I squirrel too easily. So I'll have my Bible app open and I'll be in the book of Acts. And then all of a sudden, what happens? You already know. Ding, scroll comes down halfway. I'm not looking at that. I just did. I'm trying to read it. Now it's going away. Now I got to open it. I'm not going to open it, but I just still opened it. You get what I'm saying? Because it's a battle. And so for me to open up the living Word of God, and some of you, I'm just so thankful that you're using a devotional. I'm not being down on that. Some of you, you are taking baby steps and you're reading a devotional, maybe Max Lucado or somebody, and you're getting that spiritual, you know, you're reading certain things. Praise God for that. But at some point in your growth, your development, and your maturity, you're going to have to take the scary step to open up the living Word of God and say, God, I need to hear from you. Here's my heart. Show me your ways. And I want to just tell you this. Everybody that I know in my life that is growing and transforming and radically pursuing Jesus have become people of the Word. It's a common thread that they are making the living Word of God a priority in their life. If God is truly first, we must honor Him as such. When we make little to no time or simply give Him the leftovers at the end of the day, we do not honor Him as King and Lord of our lives. Just a little side note, spouses. Okay, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to leave it there. You know what I'm saying? If it fits, you felt it. How's that? Father God deserves our best. Our Savior who bled and died on our behalf to offer us a transformed eternity deserves our best. St. John Chrysostom observed that Christ's teachings, he teaches us an alternate, between community and solitude. There's this balance. Neither always avoiding the crowd. You see that throughout history, that became something strange because I always avoided the crowd, I always avoided public, but nor always remaining in it. There's this rhythm that we have to maintain between community and ministry and other people in our lives and solitude. Our souls need to be with God. Now, I just want to say this. In a world right now, some of you, static noise is part of your sanity. And I know that there's somebody within the sound of my voice today that when you stop the noise and you hear nothing but potential crickets, you may be unnerved or feel anxious. You will figure it out, and let me just say this to encourage you, your soul needs that. It's a foundational basic, but we have to cut out the noise and the worldly influences in order to learn to hear the voice of God, His Spirit talking to us, and the living Word of God becoming an active part of our spiritual journey. We have to be people that shut out the noise and withdraw from worldly distractions. There is no, absolutely no substitute for that. We have to be people of the Word. The stuff that we're pursuing, please understand, I'm not against creeds. Men and women that are more brilliant than me have come together and said, this is what we believe, and they establish a creed, and it's a beautiful thing. But this is our primary creed together. This is what we're studying. This is what we're pursuing. This is what is the foundation of our life. We have to be people of the Word, the Bible. We have to be people that pour our hearts out to God in private communication, and we call that private communication prayer. I've said this to you so many different times. My ugly self, my ugly words, and sometimes my ugly cry and the cry of my heart from the pain of my heart and the confusion of my heart is what God listens to me and the Holy Spirit is a part of in my private time talking to God. If you were to walk by and hear some of my open-hearted crying out to God, you would say, there's something wrong with that dude. And my response would be, I told you. Because it's not always pretty, the stuff that's going on inside of me. But that's how I know that I can talk to you and encourage you to press into Him, because He's an amazing Father. Then He does amazing things. Simply what He wants is for us to open up to Him so that He can come in and meet us there. It's a beautiful exchange. We have to be people that focus on our inner spiritual life and make it a daily priority. This is so basic. It's foundational. But as we're talking about counterfeits, any of you in any pursuit, any endeavor, any vocation, how do you spot the counterfeits? You don't spend a lot of time studying counterfeits. You can do that, but it may confuse you. What you spend a lot of time studying is the original, the real thing. You know in your heart, your mind, you've wrapped it around. You know what that original equipment, you know what that original document, you know what that original thing looks like. So then there's something that when it comes across your path, you're like, nah, something's not quite right with that. I know it's such a basic thing, but in the world that we live in with all the counterfeits, we cannot stop studying the Word together. For us, me, Chris, Evan, you ever hear us say anything that you have been reading the Word and you go, that doesn't feel or sound right. I said last week, did I not? You ever hear that from me? You ever see that from me? I said to you guys in private, please come talk to me. Let's open up the Word. Let's talk about it. Because it makes me a better man. Because this is the source of who we, and what we are pursuing together. And here's the thing. We don't have any improved plan or modified plan that's going to work better in our culture than what Jesus said. This is my church. This is what I've commissioned you to do. Go be about it. Just like what he said, learn to love God, learn to love others. Take the good news as you go, baptizing people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So what's our modified and improved plan? We don't have one. We're still just trying to stick with the original plan. But we've got to be people of the Word. The Scripture has to be important to you. Does your life reflect that these truths as basics of your pursuit of Jesus as Savior and Lord? This basic daily pursuit of Jesus is truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's not one truth. He's not, but no, he's truth. And so this whole thing that we're pursuing about counterfeits is based on relational pursuit. And what does Jesus say? If we're to guard our hearts and minds against the counterfeits of our age, we must be pursuing Jesus as truth. Because not to take a deep dive, but John understood something. He said, Jesus and the Word are the same. He was there in the beginning. So look at your pursuit of this written Word as your pursuit of Jesus, the Word. And he wants to reveal himself to you and illuminate what he wants you to see by the power of the Holy Spirit, which is all about relationship. The world that we live in is full of counterfeits. And just like what he said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, as we're going through Matthew, the scary part is a lot of those counterfeits are under the guise of religion. So how are we going to know the difference? What we're going to talk about next week, and this is what we're going to press into, it's not academic intellectual observation. It's a spirit and a heart product so that we know whether something is of God or not. That's a different evaluation point for most of us when it comes to counterfeits. So what do you need to do today? I know what I need to do. I need to continue to fight to prioritize my time with Father. How about you? As we stand and as we sing one last song together, what is it that you need to change, modify, or do different today so that you can be a greater person of the Word moving forward? Let's stand and sing together.